And then Rodan and Mothra had that weird exchange behind that building.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
I'm Josh Hadley here for the 200th episode of What the Fuck. I can't believe I've done this for 200 episodes. You guys haven't done it for 200, but Charlie's been here for quite a few.
Yeah, and it feels like so much more than that.
Well, that's because it worms into your brain, and then even that pot tar in your head can't get it out.
Yeah, you're I feel infested. Like on the 200th episode, because I've been either guesting or co-hosting for at least 120 of these, and I feel like Andy Dufresne, but still in the pipe.
You haven't quite emerged from the shit yet, huh?
Yeah, like I know there's something, it's going towards something, but I'm not there yet.
And then Kat hasn't been here as long. Kat has stuck around for a lot longer than I thought she would.
I've been here long enough to know that I don't know why I'm here.
Which is a fair enough assessment, really. And
I think you beat the entire betting pool, by the way. Nobody gave you more than 5 episodes.
Well, that's good, because I won a lot of money out of that.
See, it's not right when you bet against yourself, you know? It's almost like the game is fixed.
It was.
At 200 episodes, quite a while ago, I had said that I was going to change the name to Cat's Idea, Knee Deep in Bullshit. Fuck that. I like the name What the Fuck, so I'm not changing it to Knee Deep in Bullshit. Just in case anyone remembers that I said that, you know, like 70 episodes ago.
Awesome, because I did not remember that at all. And now that you've said it, I kind of remember a little bit.
It was your idea.
Dude, I have so many good ideas. I can't be responsible for remembering all of my good ideas.
Do you remember the good idea that is AdamandEve.com?
Nice segue. That was good.
The segue
was my idea.
Do you though, Kat? Do you remember?
Go to AdamandEve.com and you will get... I'm not saying your segue for you. I just set it up, dude.
Use the promo code WHAT and you will get 10 free gifts. You will get 6 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, a gift for him, a gift for her, and free Canada's Mexico shipping.
Yeah.
Which is Charlie's joke. So see, it's all a rich tapestry.
This Adam and Eve promo has chronicled our lives.
Let's get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's not an Adam and Eve promo, but did you guys see the 250-year-old dildo that was found in a toilet?
The Facebook thread that you put that on automatically just burned that, completely scrubbed it from the hard drive, so I did not see that one.
Archaeologists in Poland found a 250-year-old intact dildo.
Oh, see, I thought they found this at your house.
Because how old do you think I am?
259. I don't know, man. I'm just trying to make a joke. Don't ask me to expound upon my joke. That's Charlie's job.
She just implied that you had a dildo when you were 9 years old.
Who's to say I didn't? But I'm not that old, okay?
I'll never join you.
Archaeologists in, oh good God, I'm never going to be able to pronounce this, G-D-A-N umlaut S-K Poland, Gdznadek, there's not enough vowels in this for it to be a real word, but in that word Poland, they were digging a latrine, and they discovered a dildo that was actually made out of wood and then coated in very expensive leather that they've dated to the 18th century. And they said this thing would have been an incredibly expensive dildo to have had back then.
I'm curious about the owner of the dildo. Just knowing that it would have been really expensive to make at the time kind of makes me think it was like some rich person's dildo, some like very fancy lady's dildo, or I don't know, fancy man's dildo. Could have been anybody's dildo. Now I'm really, more than anything else, I'm curious about this, the person who owned it. Where would you get that from? Did you have to go to some leather maker and commission that?
I would think so. I don't think that's the kind of thing, Kat, you could just buy at an everyday store.
Obviously, they wouldn't have had like porn stores or anything like that, so... Was there like a dealer or something where you could go to, everybody just knew the right person to go to and it was the leather maker or the whatever? So weird.
Oh, I'm sure there were connoisseurs. I mean, Josh mentioned this was from the 18th century. That's known among dildo connoisseurs as the barely legal century. That's what that period is called. I kind of question what standards they had for what constitutes a dildo 250 years ago. I mean, I don't want to be crass here, guys, but if something makes its way up there, it's kind of a dildo. Just by, I mean, location is
what
they say.
Did you not look at the photos? It's a dildo. It's a giant cock. It's actually quite large by even today's dildo standards. Quite large, with a bulbous head that's shaped like a penis with two big balls at the bottom. It looks like a cock.
I'm not saying it doesn't look like a cock. I'm just saying.
Ancient dildo has been taken away for, quote, maintenance, so they can make sure that they clean it properly without destroying the leather, because, you know, the leather on it is 250 years old. It's going to be put in a museum. Ah, Poland, where they put dildos in museums.
I wonder if you'd be able to, and I'm kind of grossed out even thinking about this, but collect any DNA evidence off of it to try and trace it back to its original owner or something like that.
Like the Mummy's Curse, but with a rubber cock?
CSI Poland.
I'm thinking more like something like The Fly 2, but, you know, a little more sexual.
I'm going to defend Poland here for putting it in a museum. You can give them shit all you want, but, I mean, if you ask me to pick one museum exhibit that junior high field trip is going to pay attention to, it's probably going to be that one.
The other thing that was vying for dumbest thing, and the reason that I didn't use it, was because it's actually pretty awesome. Now, Kat, you used to live in Japan, correct?
Sure did.
Did you know that Godzilla has officially been elected the tourism ambassador to Japan?
Well, considering how passionately, and by passionately, I mean like militantly, they defend the rights, like whoever has the rights for Godzilla, like they defend
Toho.
Those rights.
Toho.
Yeah, Toho. I kept thinking of some other T word. Anyway. They are so militantly protective of the rights for Godzilla that if you use a giant monster in anything, you will get sued. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, I'm just now learning that Blue Oyster Cult doesn't have the rights to Godzilla anymore, so I'm reeling a little bit from that. But if you ask me to pick a more recognizable Japanese celebrity, I would not be able to do it. Maybe Long Duck Dong, but that's about it.
My thing is, is Godzilla really a great tourism ambassador, considering, now it's been a while since I've seen one of the 28 movies he's been in, the Japanese-created ones. Doesn't he usually wreck Japan?
Well, it depends on which movie you're going for, because Godzilla is often, like, versus another monster trying to wreck Japan, and Godzilla is sort of like Japan's monster who fights and, you know, wins and everybody's happy. But actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I can't believe that it's not Hello Kitty, because Hello Kitty is like the most merchandised character in the whole of Japan. You'd think it would be Pokemon or something, but it's Hello Kitty.
With Hello Kitty, though, I don't think that's as recognizable internationally as Godzilla is. I mean, Godzilla is so intrinsically tied to Japan. I don't care what country you go to. They see Godzilla and they think of Japan. Is that necessarily true for Hello Kitty?
Well, some people might like look at Godzilla and think of Matthew Broderick, those poor people. I don't know, because I already thought Hello Kitty was some sort of cultural ambassador of some sort, but it's really just the marketing ambassador of Japan.
If you ask me, Godzilla is oddly suited to be the ambassador of tourism because, I mean, he knows the city very well.
I destroyed something in that building and I killed somebody there.
Yeah. It looked nice before I breathed my fucking crazy fire breath all over it.
And then Rodan and Mothra had that weird exchange behind that building.
So if that's what you're into, they tell me it's a good spot, so.
All right, and then Kat, you sent me one about a semi-truck full of honeybees that rolled over. Do you want to give us a little bit of background on the honeybees? And I'm going to quote from the police detective here, "Everybody's been stung."
No kidding. So what happened was a semi was near Linwood, I guess, and it rolled, and the semi had been transporting 14 million bees, and those bees went everywhere. The only important thing to take away from this is that 14 million bees. Like, I just stuck up on that headline of 14 million bees.
That is some terrifying bullshit for me.
Like, I was just, here's a headline of nope. So glad I don't live near there.
I don't get squeamish about spiders or any of that shit, but bees just get me. I don't know what it is. Terrified of bees. It's not even an allergy. I've never even been stung by a bee. They just fucking freak me out.
Okay, well now I know that now I know why Charlie wasn't a big fan of John Belushi.
Well, I was an okay fan of John Belushi, but once he got into the bee costume, I could not support that. I can't be a part of that.
We're going to talk about a couple of horrendous things here. The first one is good. The second one is not. I'm an animal lover. I have 5 cats and 3 dogs. Cat, I know you have cats. Charlie, I know you have a dog. Now, we all know about poaching. We all know how African elephants specifically on the verge of extinction because people kill them for their ivory. Should we be mad that, you know, Charlie, you've often said, even though we're joking about it, somebody died. Should we be mad that an ivory poacher was zeroing in on his elephant prey and the elephant stomped him to death? Is that just turnabout as fair play, or should we feel bad that a man died while trying to kill a sapient being?
I know we shouldn't be mad because he was killed because, I mean, it's kind of his fault. I did not get trampled by an elephant today because I stay the fuck away from elephants. So that's kind of on him. I don't think we should be mad about that. And it just makes sense to me. He was going after the elephant. The elephant was defending itself against something like a 17th of its size. It makes total sense that the elephant trampled him to death. That's just nature working itself out, you know?
It's always, you never really wish death upon other people, but you don't really wish death upon most animals either, except for, of course, spiders and bees. And we don't want bees to die right now.
Bees.
The bees are like going extinct or something. We need bees. We need
Good.
Bees.
I'll do without honey.
You know what? Technically, we need spiders too, but fuck those creepy things.
We need spiders, but we don't need them in my house. You know, it's sort of like that. Like, you can stay in your part of the world, and I'll stay in mine, and whatever.
Spiders and I have a gentleman's agreement. You stay the fuck away from me, I stay the fuck away from you. If you break my personal bubble, I smush you.
And much like the guy with the elephant, what they were doing was terrible, and I don't feel bad when terrible people die. He could have given all this money to charity and been a saint, and I still wouldn't feel sorry for him because he was trying to hunt a perfectly nice... Doing something illegal, isn't that illegal?
Poaching is illegal. It depends on different parts of the country or different parts of different continents. But like the African rhino, there is one left in the world. So it is the last of its species. And when it dies of old age, it is dead. It is actually being protected by the African government. It is surrounded by armed guards at all times because the African rhino horn is an aphrodisiac in Asia. I saw a video of some poacher. He just holds it down while it's still alive and takes a chainsaw and just cuts its horn off and then leaves it there to die and bleed to death.
I do think that was the last male rhino of that particular species, which is why they were protecting it so passionately.
Yeah.
Because they need it to repopulate the species, but it probably won't.
What does that say about us if we know it's the
Not
last one?
Not with everybody all up at its business like that.
It needs some alone time with the ladies.
But right? What does that say about us as a species? We know it's the last one, and some sick motherfucker would still hunt it because that horn's worth $1,000 a gram, man. What does that say about us?
We have such an inability to understand nature. We have a passionate inability to understand nature. We go out of our way to ignore science because it's too complicated for us. And we've been on this planet such a short amount of time, the idea of permanence kind of escapes us as well. And when you kill off an entire species, that affects the rest of the environment around it in ways that we don't quite understand at all times. It's really kind of devastating because it's not even that we don't know, it's that we don't want to know. We go out of our way to make sure that we don't understand nature just so that we don't have to feel bad about it when we fuck it up.
But then it's also short-term thinking. Because like with the African rhino,
that's
you just...
That's the human race for you.
Exactly. Can't you just let it repopulate and then wait until they die of old age to get their horn? Like with elephants. Elephants have an elephant graveyard. They all go to the same place to die. When it dies, you can go get the ivory off of its naturally deceased corpse. You don't kill it.
That doesn't fit the right fucking now criteria that all human beings seem to have.
Which is part of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, Kat was right. humans don't understand nature, but I think more to the point, they can't even fathom their place within nature. We are not the fucking rulers. We're not the shit kings of fuck mountain, as they say in stand-up comedy, of nature. We just like to think we are. Again, it's not shocking at all that someone would kill another species and wipe it off the face of the earth if it'll give them a boner. They will do that if they really want a boner. That's what human beings do. That's what sets us apart. Hopefully has set us on enough of a self-destructive path that we'll eventually be out of nature's hair and they can continue as normal.
There's also sort of this feeling of, well, who cares? People who don't have any respect for nature just go, well, who cares? There's other rhinos. There's just this rhino left. Well, who cares? Yeah. There's more rhinos. You know,
the survival of this rhino is not going to affect my ability to get gasoline or to watch Netflix all day or to go to the strip club or to do all this human shit. How does that affect me? So I'm not going to care. That's another glaring defect of the human condition that is just not undoable. That's how people are.
It's sort of like with all the bees dying off, which is really kind of weird and really kind of scary because, you know, we put all these pesticides out there or whatever it is that's killing all the bees. And we don't care because we're like, well, I fucking hate bees. They suck. I don't want to be stung. So good. Dead bees are best bees. And then
I don't even like honey.
But it's that whole bees do more than just make honey. They pollinate stuff for us. And we need that because we want to eat food ever.
I know.
So it's sort of like that level of I don't understand and I'm selfish. So the things that I don't like must be bad and I would be happy if they were gone. But there's no actual understanding of how it works.
Yeah, I mean, logic and long-term thinking often take a backseat to fear and instant gratification.
Speaking of that, how about the horrible human being that is, right, I guess technically she's still a doctor now, the veterinarian Dr. Kristen Lindsay in Texas. How about the fact that she took a picture of herself after she shot what she called a feral tomcat in the head with an arrow, holding up the cat with the arrow in its head. My first bow kill, lol. The only good feral tomcat is one with an arrow through its head. Vet of the Year award gladly accepted. Unquote. The internet kind of sprang to fire over this one. The animal clinic where she worked has fired her, despite the fact that she said they didn't. I'm quoting from her. No, I did not lose my job. Lol. Psh, like someone would get rid of me? I'm awesome. Clinic
Jesus
said,
Christ.
No, you're gone. Within an hour of that, they had her name on the sign duct taped over. There is now a public call to have her veterinary license stripped from her and to have her brought up on animal cruelty charges. What do you guys think about this one?
I mean, feral cats, I understand, are a problem. There's breeding issues and disease issues, and feral cats are generally just sort of considered unwanted. Does that mean we should go around and kill them whenever we see them? Absolutely fucking not, because that's cruelty to animals. If we put a pet down, we go through it very gently. We, you know, like in the safest ways that we can to have the most painless experience possible. We don't go bow hunting feral cats because we're bored or we think that feral cats are a bad thing. That's just not how the world works.
It wasn't a feral cat, by the way. It came out after the fact. This was an old couple down the block's cat who got out. His name was Tiger. So, I don't know if that makes it worse or not.
So, like, the whole thing is, we just don't go around killing random pets that we see or random animals that we see because that's, you know, that whole one step closer to being a sociopath kind of deal is like killing random animals, you know, just to experience killing things. Kind of being crazy. And you can't just assume that, oh, there's a cat in my yard, feral cat, I'm going to kill it. That's a really fucked up line of logic. I feel like that's like almost a drunk line of logic, like if you're drunk and a sociopath.
Worse that she's a vet and was so callously, look at me, yeah, look at my prize, holding up the photo and lolling over it. No, they wouldn't fire me. I'm awesome.
Like, the fact that she's, like, just cheering her, patting her own back in victory over having just killed another living being is really disgusting. It's the same thing where you have all of those hunters with their trophies on all over Facebook going, look, I just killed a fucking endangered species.
But most of those hunters aren't veterinarians whose sworn duty is to help animals.
Right. And if a veterinarian
can't figure out the difference between a feral cat that should be captured and taken somewhere else. Or there's things you could do with feral cats other than hunting them with a bow and arrow, you fucking psychopath. If you can't tell the difference between a feral cat and your neighbor's cat, perhaps you should ask around and see if it's somebody's cat. Because cats get out of the house all the time. If I had this fucking psycho bitch in my neighborhood, my cat would probably be dead by now. And that would be enraging. Like, it's just, it's beyond disgusting what she did. And there's no way she should be working with animals at all. She can comfortably take the life of an animal and, like, pat herself on the back for it.
In such a brutal way, too.
Right, in what would not be considered a traditional way of dealing with feral animals of any kind. Like, I wouldn't even do that to, like, a raccoon or, you know, something, or like an opossum or something we sort of, like, turn our noses down at, much less a nice little cute kitty cat. Like, this person should not be dealing with animals. I hope she, like, gets her license revoked. I hope she gets sued. I hope she goes to prison. I hope only terrible things on her.
Well, I don't disagree with anything that Kat said. I think her one defense, her one shot at getting out of this, because it's no question that what she did was fucking barbaric and stupid. And I'm glad she lost her job over it, because cruelty to animals on that level, it was not a stray cat. You'd think someone who has studied animals for years might be able to tell the fucking difference with some weird thing that you would go to college to learn, but apparently learning ain't for everybody, especially not her. So I'm glad she lost her job. I definitely agree with that decision. I don't know. I've never had my own cat. Like, my sister, when I was a kid, had a cat. So I've had cats in the house, but I've never had my own cat. And no one has ever seen a feral pug. Like, I don't know why, but that's just never happened. I don't share the same kind of fear of this sort of thing happening to my pet, but it's fucking ridiculous. And I don't agree with hunting. A lot of people say overpopulation is why we hunt. And she could have used that. She could have said, well, I was trying to keep it from impregnating all the other female cats in the area. But no, it was probably okay. It was someone else's house pet. I'm assuming it was neutered, correct? There's very few people who make it a point to not neuter a cat. I don't know. I don't think she should be working with animals.
Now, at the time that we're recording this, she has not pulled this yet. How long before she starts playing the victim of an internet hate campaign against her? At the time we're recording this, she has not yet.
It hasn't happened already.
But you know it's coming, don't you?
Honestly, that she hasn't already gone, oh no, people are, you know, like, bullying me on the internet for just doing my constitutional right to hunt alley cats. Like, the fact that she hasn't already started tells me she is really stupid. Because if I had fucked up that bad, I would already be trying to spin all of the vitriol in my favor in any way that I could and turn it around and make other people look bad.
She shut down her Twitter. She shut down her Facebook page. The clinic that she worked has completely thrown her out to the figurative wolves. Quote, our goal now is to go on and try and fix our black eye and hope that people are responsible and understand that these actions don't in any way portray what we're here for at Washington Animal Clinic. We put our heart and soul into this place. She's basically having her back turned. Everyone is turning their back on her.
She's got to throw him right under the bus.
Uh-huh.
That's because she could not be more of a fuck-up. I cannot... Yeah, like, who the hell would defend her? She works with veterinarians. She takes care of sick animals. She just killed a cat on purpose with a bow and arrow, tweeted the fucking picture with an LOL, and I'm guessing an emoticon with whiskers, and she lost her job at the veterinary office, and rightfully so. She has not one leg to stand on.
Well, and then, like I said, at the time we're recording this, she's still a doctor. She hasn't had her license pulled, but there is a petition to have the state pull her license and to have her brought up on animal cruelty charges. Do you think that would be going too far, or should it just be she lost her job and should we leave it alone?
No, she should
be
charged.
If you killed a kid, if you killed someone's son with a bow and arrow, should you still be allowed to be a pediatrician?
No, the answer is no. But okay.
No, you should go to jail. Like, you can't be allowed to work with animals if you've just fucking murdered an animal on purpose.
Yeah, what I use to protect myself from cats instead of a bow and arrow is being about 8 times the size of a cat. That has served me well against those vicious, vicious cats named Tiger that terrorize my neighborhood.
I was appalled when I saw the photo. Because, like I said, I have five cats. I just pictured one of my cats like that. I was so appalled. And, Kat, you told me off mic before the show, your entire timeline's been blown up by this on Facebook, right?
Yeah, my whole Facebook feed is full of that picture, and it just upsets me so much. Like, it's just horrific.
Well, we're going to take a break then.
I got something to say.
Welcome to Heart Attack Take 2. I'm Hart Fisher. Of course, we got Josh Hadley. And yeah, man, we've made it to the 200th episode. Holy shit. When Josh had me on as a guest many moons ago, I was just a guest on his show, What the Fuck? And then it turned into a segment. And then I got my own thing. And Jesus Christ, here we are today. Can you believe it's been 200 shows, dude?
Well, for you, if you want to count the first time you've been on, it's been 175. Yeah. You came on, Jillian was sick, so you came on to guest host the 25th episode. And then, because we had a nice rapport with one another, I asked you to do the heart attack thing, and you started that at episode 32.
Wow, man.
So you've been doing heart attacks since episode 32 of What the Fuck.
And if people haven't heard those early shows, me and Josh are fucking off the hook. We're cursing and yelling and screaming because Heart Attack started off as much more of a you cocksucking motherfucker.
It also started out sounding like shit because you refused to get a headset and insisted on doing it via phone.
Well, that's the weird thing is it started off great. We did the first things with the phone, Time Warner landline. And then as we started moving forward and we started getting popular and we started affecting social change, the phone line started to get worse and worse. And we started to have more and more problems with a landline. Can you believe that shit? For the conspiracy theorist assholes out there, hey, conspiracy theory dickheads, turns out that the FBI's vaunted CSI unit, their super duper CSI unit, has been lying for over 30 years. Now they say they soften the blow by they go, they've been offering false evidence against criminal defendants over more than a 2-decade period before 2000. Guys, it's 2015. You've only discovered this bad behavior about these FBI CSI guys who apparently the hair and fibers don't match up like they say. And apparently they've overstated their forensic matches in ways that favored prosecutors in more than 95% of the 268 trials reviewed so far. Oh gosh, oh golly, gee whiz, is that a conspiracy, guys? Or is that just the fucking facts of the matter because we're being lied to by our government? We're being put in jail if you're a regular little guy. But if you're a giant corporation and you're ripping off the American working man, you're fine. You're fucking fine as long as you could buy your way out. Is that the conspiracy? Well, it's right in front of your fucking faces, folks. But hey, I'm going all heart attack mode. I'm getting all angry, reminiscing.
Okay, back when I worked in the news, we had a trial up here that actually did make national news. It was called the Stephen Avery trial. Stephen Avery is a guy who spent 17 years in prison for a rape that DNA later confirmed he did not commit. And then he murdered a girl. And, you know, basically prison turned him into a monster. Well, at his trial for the murder of Teresa Halbach, this was the first time in American history knowingly tainted forensic evidence was allowed at trial. The DNA examiner for the FBI sneezed in the DNA sample, so her DNA was mixed in it, and they still allowed it in court. It was knowingly tainted, and it was still allowed as forensic evidence in court. You tell me that that's not fucked up.
Dude, it's totally fucked up. And here's the thing. They've known about these flaws for years now. The FBI knew about it. State people knew about it. But you and me, the regular guy, didn't know about it. Because, you know, these, quote, examiners, well, they wouldn't just simply say that there's a microscopic similarity between two hairs. No, they'd go beyond that and say, it's 100% match. It's 100% match. From microscopic similarity to 100% match. That's misleading the jury into concluding that the evidence had a certain value it didn't actually have.
That's called the CSI effect. With shows like CSI and NCIS and SVU and all that, all of the alphabet shows out there that almost always have their characters, the examiners, being so infallible, people think that when they hear an actual crime scene investigator say, well, it's got this kind of similarity, whatnot, people's brains automatically go to, they're clearly telling the truth. Do you realize that most fingerprint analysis is only at most 78% accurate? You know, your fingerprints are on something. There are, you know, there's obviously cases where it's such a clean print that there's no doubt. Fingerprint analysis goes into the 70s of, well, it's about a 72% match, so yeah, it's probably him.
Well, how about this one, Josh? Okay, so we've been talking about the FBI labs of federal prosecutions, all right? What about the same mistakes and the same lying, faulty testimony that may have likely been presented? And I love that we have to say may or likely. How about was? When they figure out that these guys are lying and they're wrong and they're full of shit, well, guess what? They've got between 500 and 1,000 local or state examiners trained by the FBI. Their lying was passed down to another 500 or 1,000 local or state examiners. Think about that, guys. Think of how many people are in jail based on the testimony of these dudes who are going, oh, yeah, it matches. And, okay, people are going to say, well, fuck those criminals. I'm going to say this as a victim of violent crime. When I was a victim of violent crime, when my loved one was murdered, I wanted them to get the guy. I needed them to get the right guy, not any guy, not clear the case, not make a guy feel better because the case is shut. I, as the victim, need to know you got the right guy. I, who's lost his loved ones to violent crime, I need to know you put away the killer, the rapist, so he's unable or she is unable to rape or kill somebody else. That is my outrage here, folks. My outrage is about the fact that they didn't get the right guy. That's my outrage right now as a victim of violent crime. You need to get the right guy.
Part of that problem, Hart, goes into a much larger scale thing of numbers. Most prosecutors go on the number of convictions they get, not whether it's the right guy, but that the case was closed. So in reality, if a prosecutor is prosecuting somebody and the new evidence comes out that says it's the wrong guy, odds are they're not going to drop those charges because all they care about is if they get the conviction, not if they get the guy who committed the crime. This has to stop being a numbers game. It has to stop being about how many cases you close decides what kind of a budget you get and about how many correct criminals you incarcerate. This has to stop being about numbers.
You know, that's pretty good, Josh. That's a really, really important statement, is it isn't about the numbers. These are all human beings here. How many innocent people are in prison? Because as taxpayers, we pay for that. You and I, we pay for their housing, the security guards, the healthcare for the guards. So when you put a guy in jail, the taxpayer is going to pay for his rent, his food, his medical, his jailer's medical, his jailer's
HBO.
Food.
HBO. Most prisons now have HBO.
Yeah, that's something that we pay for. So we as a society have to examine what's happening. We talk about police violence. That's a big part of it, is we have these issues of it's corrupt, guys, in every step of our society. It's all so corrupt. And we got to get off our asses and do something about it. Now, I'm bitching and moaning, but I got to say, man, I'm happy we made it to 200 fucking shows, dude. I really am. This is, I never thought when I did this with you that we'd be here today. I did not think that I'd have my own show on Jackalope. It kind of blows my mind. I was on Night Watch this week with Todd, and it was a lot of fun. I had a good time, and he was busting my balls about talking about myself too much.
Can you imagine that it was almost 4 years ago?
No. Wow.
It was almost 4 years ago that you started doing this when we first hooked up. Does it seem like it has been four fucking years?
No, man. Time flies so fast. Gearing up to finally release in May an American Horror Story, my collected writings from Inkold blog. So, and I'm also, you know, getting ready to move the American Horrors offices. The American Horrors offices are going to move. So we've been going through and boxing up stuff and packing up stuff. I've been on a real tour of memory lane, and I'm feeling very good about what I've been doing, who I'm working with, and where I'm going in my life. I'm very happy about it, man. And I'm really happy that you and I are still working together on stuff.
Yeah, you haven't killed me yet.
Yeah, right.
Did you guys see this thing about ESPN's Britt McHenry and her little freak out at the towing office? Have you guys seen that video yet?
I didn't watch it, but I heard quite a bit.
Well, it's basically security camera footage. She had her car towed, and she's one of the faces of ESPN, and she's obviously not working for ESPN at the time. This is on her personal time, and that'll come into play later. She is just berating the woman working at the tow company, just calling her fat and uneducated, and then she starts talking about how I'm on TV, and if you looked as good as me, you'd be able to get on TV and you'd do something with your life. And it's she's full of swearing and just hate and vitriol. Well, ESPN has suspended her over this video coming out. I'm of two minds of this. I can't believe I'm about to say this. I kind of agree with Fox's Dana Perino on this one, because Dana Perino makes the point that McHenry was on her own time and should not be held accountable for what she did while not working for ESPN. And I do agree with that, partially. What do you guys think about this? Do you think ESPN should have suspended McHenry, or is this an overreaction in an overly PC culture?
I don't understand why issues like this are always, like, held up to public scrutiny. Like, what does everybody think? who's right in this. Like, there's probably, if she's working for ESPN, then she is working for a major broadcasting conglomerate, including so much shit that we're probably even unaware of. And when you start working in television, you sign a contract. There are clauses up the ass on every contract I have ever seen. And there was probably a clause, you know, actions performed in your personal time which reflect poorly on ESPN or parent company's subsidiaries.
Those are called ethics clauses.
Ethics clauses. That's what I was groping around for. If she violated an ethics clause in her contract, then she will be fired. It is cut and dry. This is not a matter of public opinion. She was being a cunt. She was being a horrible cunt. And if there's something in her contract with ESPN saying don't be a cunt or we'll fire you, then she's going to get fired.
Kat, wouldn't it be lovely if it was actually phrased don't be a cunt was right in the contract?
Yeah, I mean, that's open for a lot of interpretation, but I'm on board for that. I'm on the same boat as Charlie, where I think it's ridiculous that people are held accountable because they're famous to, you know, like having their private life scrutinized. And by famous, I mean you are a token chick on ESPN. But at the same time, yeah, she probably signed some sort of clause that says, don't be a cunt, because, you know, like, people will hold you in at some higher level, and you can't act like other people. You have to represent ESPN even when you're not on ESPN. And if you can't handle that sort of clause, then, hey, maybe you shouldn't work for ESPN or anyone else who makes you sign that sort of thing. And that's on you, because if you sign it, you're held accountable to that.
Even with an ethics clause, does that mean that she, by signing that contract, has no personal life? That this freak out, I mean, if you had this freak out, it would be okay, but McHenry can't because she might, and keep in mind, we don't know this, have an ethics clause? That's where I was kind of like somewhat on Dana Perino's side. This was on her personal time with her personal money and her personal car. At what point does an ethics clause stop? To quote Dana Perino, she wasn't on the clock. She wasn't working for them at the time. It really had nothing to do with ESPN.
Well, if she keeps flaunting the fact that she's a celebrity and that's why she should be treated special, I don't think that she gets the, oh, I'm an everyday average person just like you clause.
It's a fair enough point.
Yeah, by trying to play the fame card, she was reflecting poorly on what she is saying is making her famous, which in this case is ESPN. That's what stops it from being on her own personal time. That's what makes it reflect poorly on ESPN. That's where the violation comes into play, and that's where it's her fucking fault.
Let's talk a little bit about police officers and duplicitous means. We all know about whistleblowers, right? How about in Arkansas, where three police officers came forward about corruption in their department, and then they hired an attorney, and they're covered by the whistleblower statute? Per discovery in the lawsuit, the Arkansas Police Department in question had to turn over all of their computer records. So they gave the attorney a hard drive full of all of the stuff that he had asked for. The attorney, not being a fucking moron, took it to a security office and had it checked. There were 4 viruses, a worm, and 3 Trojans on this hard drive with this information that, if he had plugged it into his laptop or his system at the law firm, would have erased all of his files and given his files to the police department in question. The police department's going, we had no knowledge this was on there. We were just doing what the court said we had to do. Is this a duplicitous police department getting caught with their hand in the till? Or do you think that this is an attorney trying to make them look worse? Because they're trying to say they didn't do any of this. The attorney is setting them up because he's a scumbag.
Well, this one's kind of a crapshoot, because how would the police department even have people who could do that?
I'm sure that they have an IT department.
Of some sort, yeah. I mean, I guess you could find somebody who could write viruses like that in however long amount of time that they had to do it. It's sort of a crapshoot. Like, it could go either way. Because, like, seriously, if you're doing your job, how do you have all of these viruses on your hard drive?
Yeah, because they're like, here's your files, here's the external hard drive, and you know, go ahead, go. Plug it into your computer, go ahead. You can see everything's there. You know, it's like, seriously? How scummy are you? I like the fact that the attorney was not stupid enough that he was kind of like, you know what, they handed these files over way too easily. I'm going to have this thing checked out.
Yeah, I think that's really clever of them to realize that, oh, this is not going to end well. We should probably make sure that we do this in a safe location where it's not going to affect us. And sure enough, how could you think you were going to get away with that, though?
The files were likely placed in that folder intentionally with the goal of taking command of my computer while also stealing passwords to my account, unquote.
Well, I know a little bit about computers, and I know a little bit about the law, and it sounds like the police that handed over the hard drive, any officer involved, is now guilty of attempted obstruction of justice, right?
I would
like that would
so.
Be the charge. It's yeah, it's interfering with an investigation. That's mistrial shit. That's Mark Furman level tampering with evidence, isn't it?
Almost. I think additional charges should be filed here because of this.
Yes, that's incredibly
though.
Unethical.
It's almost too convenient. It's sort of like it feels like so overplayed. Like if I were gonna be, you know, trying to get out of this in any way, shape, or form, I wouldn't do something so obvious like that, because there's no way you don't implicate yourself somehow in this. Where they like, well, there's
a
no way to prove that
people
we
are stupid,
did
though.
Put virus on.
Yeah,
like,
people
seriously.
Are stupid. People are stupid, Kat. Cops are no exception.
I know, but if they've had all this corruption going on all this time and have never been caught for it until now, it kind of stands to reason that they should be a little cleverer about trying
cleverer?
To get out of the execs. Clever, yes. A little more clever, a little cleverer.
I like the word cleverer. I like that. I'm not giving you shit over that. I like that.
I honestly don't know which one's right. Cleverer.
I don't think cleverer is actually a word.
This looks like the work of people that thought they were being extremely, extremely clever. They're just generally stupid. So clever to them is glaringly obvious to people like us. Like, okay, when on Tom and Jerry, when Tom would try to hide by putting a lampshade on his head, he was proud of that. We could obviously tell it was him, but he thought he was being clever.
Well, let's stick with the police for a moment. Now, we've oft talked about the NYPD. There is a website. It's called TheRant, TheRant. Only police officers in the NYPD are allowed to use this website, and you cannot log on without providing the webmaster proof that you are a current or former NYPD police officer, okay? Some police officers are reporting to their higher-ups the shocking level of racism that is coming forth from the NYPD. The chief of police said he cannot believe, obviously these all the names are hidden behind pseudonyms and whatnot, how many racists are obviously still within the NYPD that are just hiding. Quote, it's very disturbing, outrageous stuff. We see it. It's a problem. There's nothing we can do about this. Monitoring these things is challenging. There are privacy issues involved. We can't go back and peel email names and tags to try and find out who these people are. So with that said, should police officers, NYPD or any, be allowed to be racist on their own time? Or does that really kind of show that you shouldn't be a fucking police officer, huh?
So long as they don't get sassy with someone towing their car.
That's ESPN. That's not a cop.
Obviously, none of these people should be cops, because if you can't, I don't know, because you can be racist and still do your job well. You don't want to punish somebody for something that they think if they don't act on it. Like, you can't punish people for having ideas if they don't act on it. So it's sort of, I can understand where they're coming from, also being a privacy issue, but also going, how do you deal with that? The best that you can do is to know that there's a problem. Even if you can't single out people for this problem, you know that, okay, we as a group have a department, not this person or that person or that person, but we as a unit have a huge racism issue. Now, what can we do to address it? Because this is one of those cases where I think everything, you know, sort of goes away with time. Eventually, we're going to live in a world where racism is less prevalent. It's just taking time and more time and more time. And this may be one of those things that we don't have time for it to eventually weed itself out, because this affects people's lives now. Because obviously, with the amount of people who are getting shot dead just for the color of their skin, yeah, we definitely have a racism issue, and that needs to be dealt with straight away. Now, how do you deal with that if you can't single one or two or three or however many particular people out for privacy issues, well, you can do seminars or trainings or whatever it is that you need to do. They've got to do something, because clearly whatever they're doing now to help curb racism is not working. Until this, where they're going onto this board and seeing all this racism all over these forums, you know, it's sort of like, oh, well, everyone says he's racist, and just because he did this to a black guy doesn't make him a racist. Well, now you can see, you have this evidence, like undeniable evidence in front of you going, man, these people are a bunch of fucking racists. We do have a problem. Maybe that's a wake-up call.
And they're kind of proud of it, but yet still hiding behind anonymity, which is, I think, a coward's act.
Well, I think it's definitely something that should be looked into about 1,000 years ago. I don't know why it took until a year after a cigarette-selling unarmed black man is choked to death in broad daylight before someone said, you know, we should look into this racism thing. This is like what I've been saying with every police corruption story that we've ever had on this show. Incorporate racism finding into your screening process. That will eliminate the problem over time. Stop hiring racists, and then racists won't be cops.
Well, let's talk about racist cops, or not necessarily racist cops. The fallout of racist cops. Kat, you and I last week, when Charlie wasn't here, we talked about the Slagger incident. Did you see how it got weird this week?
Mm-mm. What happened? I don't remember anything.
Okay, you've seen the video, and you know that's been playing on all the news channels and everything. Well, Fedean Santana is the bystander who shot the video. He has enlisted an Australian publicity firm because he thinks he should be making money for how often that they're showing the videos. So this Australian publicity firm is now sending CNN and all of these places cease and desist, saying, if you show this video again, you have to pay my client for it. That he feels he should be compensated for something that many news agencies are making money off of.
Eat
yeah,
it.
It went there, and it went there quick, didn't it?
On the one hand, I understand wanting to, hey, this is technically your intellectual property, and wanting to protect it and make money off of it if you can, but Jesus, that's not really how viral videos kind of work.
Also the fact that, at least in America, this is an Australian firm he hired called Marks and Sparks. I don't know why he went to
Australia. Probably because literally no one else would take it.
Probably, he just
Marks
went down
Sparks.
The line.
Marks and Sparks.
Having worked in the news, I can tell you this straight up. Once something is news, it's called what's in the public interest. So they can use this as much as they want. It's fair use. You've already put it out there. Now, if before Santana gave this to any of the news agencies or put it on his YouTube channel, he said, I want to be paid for this, that would change it. He already put it out there for free. You can't then redact it and say, now you have to pay me for it. That's not how it works in American news. So he's not going to get anywhere. And I hope CNN, MSNBC, and the rest of them tell him to fuck off.
That's not how it works for anything, not just American news. I mean, you can't, like, walk around giving everybody free ice cream, and then if they really like it, you come back a week later saying, I know it was free when I gave it to you, but because you liked it so much, I'm going to need you to pay for the ice cream that you already ate. That's not a good business model for ice cream or for news. Can't be paid for something that you've already given away. I don't know where. Why the fuck do people think they can do this shit?
Because they're stupid.
The word amateur is what we're looking for here. Amateur.
Will you people please make a fucking effort? 200 episodes of this shit, America.
Got a lot of ways to step up your game.
Well, no, how about not stepping up our game? Let's go to religious freedom laws around the country. A woman in Georgia, a pharmacy technician, has declined to fill a woman's miscarriage prescription for religious freedom laws, the conscience clause. About 5 weeks into her pregnancy, Brittany Cartnett was told by her doctor that the child would not make it. Now, she was going to have a miscarriage one way or another. They could either take it out surgically, or she could be given a variation of what is the morning after pill, and she would pass the deceased fetus as she would during a miscarriage. And she chose, obviously, not to be cut open. The pharmacist refused to fill the prescription because it violated her personal religious beliefs against the morning after pill. Religious freedom is already being used in this way. First of all, if you're going to Walmart, you're already on the lower end of the curve here. But then to pull religious freedom on a woman that is carrying a dead baby? It's one thing if, hey, I sleep around and I don't, you know, I just want the morning after pill. This is prescribed by a doctor to get rid of a decaying fetus inside this woman. I'm a little appalled. Kat, you're a woman. Be appalled with me.
I'm absolutely appalled. It's really, I don't think that people understand, and I can't even begin to understand what it would be like to lose a child that you're trying to have. I've known people who have miscarried, and the devastation that you feel is maddening. It's driven people to depression, and to be judged like it's your fault and like you're doing further harm to something that is out of your control and already emotionally and physically devastating to you is absolutely appalling. And it's this whole like holding your religion over other people to make yourself feel superior when you don't understand what's happening in other people's lives and you don't care about what's happening in other people's lives. You are just going to judge them morally. What the fuck is wrong with you?
How would I make this worse? Walmart is siding with their employee. Quote, our pharmacists...
For the first time ever.
Our pharmacists fill prescriptions on a case-by-case basis every day in our stores throughout the country, and we encourage them to exercise their professional judgment in doing so. Unquote.
It is appalling. It is ignorant. It is another example of using your religion to hurt someone else. But I don't think any of this is news. I just think she should go to a different pharmacy, one without such a big, veiny god boner, and just do it at a different pharmacy. Like, don't call attention to yourselves with this shit. Just, I don't know. I don't think this is an issue. I just think this is one religious whack job who, fucking shocker, works at a pharmacy in Walmart. Go figure.
Well, then how about the religious whack job in Michigan who owns an auto repair shop called Diesel Tech, who claims that he is a Christian and he is sick of conservative Americans and having their conservative Americans are being squashed more and more every day. Apparently, if you are white or close to it, you have a job, go to church, and own a gun, that translates into racist, privileged, bigot, conspiracy theorist. Too many of us say nothing. Well, freedom of speech isn't just for liberals. They are the